answer you to. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is written, wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name that is above every name. It is written, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is written, and in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Unto us a son is given. The prophet Isaiah said, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shined. Matthew says that prophecy was fulfilled in his fourth chapter when he said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. John furthermore identifies Jesus in his first chapter of his gospel record when he says, And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. Who are these people who shut their eyes against the light, that Isaiah saw walking around in the dark? They are those who live apart from the word of God, the lamp unto our feet. If Jesus would return for a short visit today and went to the darkest place he could find, it might very well be America. When you consider for over 200 years, it seemed like a good idea to have prayer and Bible reading in the school system. And now the light has been turned off, and people prefer to walk in the dark. Why was it a good idea before, and now it's a bad idea? Why is it that what was right before is now wrong, and what was wrong before is now right? Why the flip-flop? John gives the answer in his third chapter. Men love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. Then again, remember the ominous warning in Ephesians 6. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in high places. The contrast between the dark and the light is a thing of great importance in the Word of God. Notice the contrast in darkness and light in the first chapter of Genesis. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All was dark. Right after the statement that all was dark is the advent of light. Let there be light, and there was light. Consider also the end of the Old Testament. There was silence from God for 400 years. No voice from God was heard. The world was in spiritual darkness. And then there was light. Isaiah says a light would be in the form of a child. Unto us a son is given. Isaiah leaves no doubt as to how the son was given. He said, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is to say, being interpreted, God with us. The son was given by the virgin birth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That name, Emmanuel, is loaded with comfort. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is with us in temptation. He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us in our mortality. He tasted of death once for every man. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us in our conversion. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried with him in baptism. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us at the Lord's table. He said, This is my body, this is my blood. This do in remembrance of me. Emmanuel, God with us. His name is called Emmanuel in the first chapter of Matthew. And his name is called Emmanuel in the last chapter of Matthew, because he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. It is interesting to note that Isaiah said, Unto us a son is given. When Jesus was born, the angels announced to the shepherds, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah could say unto us, A son is given. But when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, he could not say unto us, A son is given. The angel said, "Unto you a son is given. Unto you is us, mankind. Unto you a son is given." Think of it. Jesus was sent from heaven as a personal gift to you. Unto you a son is given. Isaiah continues when he says, "The government shall be upon his shoulders." The government of heaven is upon his shoulders. The government of hell is on his shoulder. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, "Every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's called Wonderful Counselor." Isaiah called his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Note, first of all, his name is Wonderful Counselor. He is wonderful in his birth. There never was another like it. The virgin-born Christ. He was wonderful in his absolutely perfect life. He could issue this challenge to humanity when he said, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" And there were no takers. He was wonderful in his death. Christ died for our sins. His resurrection is wonderful. No other raised up to live forever. He was the first fruits of them that sleep. His influence is wonderful. His ascension was wonderful. As our high priest, he passed through the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us and leave the Christian the gracious invitation to draw nigh with boldness unto the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. His church is wonderful because his church is a colony of heaven right here on earth. His word is wonderful. Remember, his name is Wonderful Counselor. Just how does Jesus counsel us? We have an example of his counsel to the church at Laodicea, a rich church, much like the churches of America today. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, we find such a church. "I counsel you to buy of me gold, refined in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." That's good counsel, the counsel to gather gold from Jesus. Good counsel in view of the way Peter explains the gold in the 1st chapter of his 1st epistle, when he referred to the proof of our faith, when tried by fire will be more precious than gold when Jesus returns. Jesus counsels us to buy up all that gold we can get, the gold of faith. If we don't listen to his counsel, the devil will counsel us. The devil counseled Eve in the Garden of Eden. His counsel was the worst advice ever given to the human race. "Yea, hath God said?" He still uses that today. Did God really say that? Is that a good translation? He has never been able to improve on that one. Another counsel of the devil that worked like a charm on Eve was, "You shall not surely die." Most folk live without a thought of eternity until someone they know dies suddenly. And then for a few days they sober up, and then business as usual. Others may die all around us, but it will never happen to us. Another counsel of the devil he used on Eve was, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan gets a lot of mileage out of that one. We have already become wise, and we are already as gods. Our polls are what we think, and it has replaced the Word of God. We decide what is good and evil, and trash the Word of God. Jesus is a wonderful counselor and needs no advisors. The President of the United States has many advisors, but the Lord does not need a Secretary of State to advise him on foreign affairs. He has directed that to the gospel be preached to all the world and all nations and to every creature, both foreign and domestic. The Lord does not need a Secretary of Defense. His strategy of defense is to put the whole armor of God on, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus needs no Secretary of the Interior, because John tells us that Jesus knows what is in man. Search me, O God, and try my thoughts, and lead me in the life everlasting. Jesus needs no chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He himself was the chief of staff. Jesus appeared to Joshua before the Battle of Jericho and identified himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. Jesus does not need a Secretary of the Treasury. His overall plan of finance was given by Paul when he said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Jesus never had to ask anyone's opinion on anything. He never sought advice. One time he seemed to be asking for advice when he asked Philip, "When should we buy bread that these may eat?" But John the Apostle is quick to point out that Jesus was trying him, not asking for information, for he knew what he would do. Jesus always knows what he will do. He needs no advice from us. After all, God the Father and God the Son oftentimes counseled each other on important matters. Jesus counseled with the Father in the Garden of Eden. Remember how he says, "The man has become as one of us." Who is us? The us is no doubt Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before that, he said, "Let us make man in our own image." At the Tower of Babel, God said, "Let us go down and confound their tongues." No wonder Isaiah calls him the Wonderful Counselor. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. Jesus is called also the Mighty God. Mighty because, as God says in the book of Hebrews, he upholds all things by the word of his power. The ancients believed the world is held up by Hercules standing on the back of a turtle, and he is balancing the entire world on his shoulders. That is not the way it is. Jesus upholds not only the world, but also the entire universe on his shoulder. And he is not standing on the back of a turtle. He is standing on his own essence. He is the Mighty God. He who was upheld in the arms of his mother upholds all things by the word of his power. But there's more reason to call him the Mighty God than that. Remember the scapegoat in the Old Testament? On the Day of Atonement, the high priest, having slain one goat, placed his hands on the head of the other goat and pronounced the sins of the people on him. And the goat was carried far away, carrying those sins in the wilderness. Jesus is our scapegoat. He carried all of our sins away. Robert Greene Ingersoll, in derision one time, said of the scapegoat, "How many sins can the average goat carry?" Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you how many sins the scapegoat of our salvation can carry. He carried all of my sins away, and not even one was left to be burned off in the imaginary fires of purgatory. And because he carried away this tremendous load of guilt, sin, and death, we can truly call him the Mighty God. Isaiah called him the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and next, the Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father for Jesus seems at first glance a little awkward. How could the Son be the Father? God is the Father, and Jesus is God the Son. Yet Isaiah calls him the Everlasting Father. Well, we speak of George Washington as the father of his country. But when we call him father, we do not mean that he is the biological father of every American. If a person starts a political party or a movement of some kind, he is called the father of it. Jesus is the father of everlasting life for us. He is the father of the church. He is the father of baptism. He is the father of the Lord's Supper. These elements were all planned, conceived, formulated, devised, concocted, made up, thought up, perfected in the heart, brain, mind, conscience of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Everlasting Father. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And then consider that Isaiah said he would be the Prince of Peace. The angels in the field of Bethlehem told about peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sometimes people have the idea of peace a little mixed up. They think that peace with men is the same as peace with God. Peace with men can only come when we have found peace with God. Until there is peace with God, there can be no peace with man. Peace with man is not necessarily peace with God. I well remember the year 1929. On November the 11th, at 11 a.m. on that day, the teacher in my grade school class announced, "It has been 11 years, 11 months, 11 days and 11 hours since the armistice was signed." She was referring to the armistice of World War I. That war, they said, was fought to make the world safe for democracy. This was the war to end all wars. There was a peace treaty between the nations, but no peace with God. We had to fight the war all over again in World War II, and we are still at it. Jeremiah had it right when he said, "They will say, peace, peace. Where is there no peace? Without the Prince of Peace, there will never be peace." On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the people that God had made Jesus both Lord and Christ. People are willing to accept his cross, but they reject his throne. They want Jesus to be the Messiah, but they don't want him to be their Lord. Until he is made Lord as well as Christ, there can be no peace. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The song of angels sang with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Wonder what happened to all that peace and goodwill the angels sang about. Were the angels mistaken? Did not the coming of Jesus mean peace on earth, goodwill to men? There's one war after another. peace, peace, and there is no peace. The big hang-up is the world has forgotten the words of the first line of the angelic song. The line that goes before peace on earth, goodwill to man is, glory to God in the highest. Until the world is willing to give God glory in the highest, there will be no peace on earth. Goodwill to men. How can we give glory to God today in the highest when the dominant cry of the Lord's day is not hallelujah, but touchdown? Not praise God, but that ball is out of here. How then can there be glory to God in the highest when Christians can quote batting averages and cannot quote three verses of Scripture telling someone what to do to be saved? Until there is glory to God in the highest, there can be no peace on earth, goodwill to men. Listen to it again. Unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Just a prayer.